You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialized fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. Happy New Year to you all, and I hope you enjoy the latest installment of Cabaret of Monsters. Chapter 8. Consualia, a festival of grain, chariot races, and stolen wives. One day before the Ides of Saturnalis. Daylight. Evie awoke in Sunshine's bed again the next morning, earlier than anyone else. Her lips were kiss-bruised, and her head ached from too many oysters doused in gin and bitters, followed by drinks that had no connection to oysters at all. She remembered Christoph and Zephyr resolving their recent spat and then flirting with other people or Knox to prove how uninterested they were in each other. The theatre was closed. The day before a new season began was considered officially nefas, unlucky, and the schedule kept clear unless extra emergency rehearsals were required. Last stage master to make us work the day before a Saturnalia review was horribly murdered, Christoph reminded them all during the drunken oyster breakfast. Himself wouldn't dare, laughed Ruby Red. Evie had wondered at the time, what did himself do with a day to, well, a day to himself? This was her chance to find out. She rose from Sunshine's warm, comfortable bed, dressed herself neatly in a long tunic that disguised her culottes. She could be discreet sometimes, and followed him. Himself had not slept at the boarding house, which was hardly a surprise by now. Evie found him at the theatre, holed up with paperwork in his dusty studio above the box office. When he emerged, he wore a muted version of his usual flashy outfit. The jacket was dusty at the sleeves, and the waistcoat crumpled as if someone had sat on it deliberately. He had a flat cap covering his hair instead of a fine top hat. He looked perfectly ordinary. Evie considered trailing him around in secret, but from what she knew of himself, he valued honesty. She stepped out from the side street and nodded to him. The stage master blinked and stared at her through his spectacles as if, for a moment, he had forgotten who she was. I don't actually want you to rewrite my Saints and Angel, he said abruptly. That's all right, said Evie. I don't want to either, especially the literal day before you go before an audience, which is arrant nonsense. I'd like to interview you, if you have the time. For your newspaper story, he said, as if he didn't quite believe she was writing one. You're an anomaly in the theatre world. The orphan princel, a stage brat who rose from the chorus of the Musette to run his own theatre before he turned 20. My Loudoun newspaper will eat it up with a spoon. And it'll be syndicated here in Alfleur too. Himself narrowed his eyes at her, and she was surprised all over again at how young he looked, out of his element. When he commanded the rehearsals, he was a steady presence of confidence and artifice. There were times when he seemed weary old, and you'd never believe he was a similar age to Christoph and Ruby Red. Other times he seemed far younger than the rest of them. Come on then, himself said sharply, tugging down his cap. I have rounds to make. Keep me company, and I'll answer your questions if they're interesting enough. How long have you managed the Vittorina Royale? Evie asked, hastening her step to keep up, as he strode down the stairs and out into the street, long-legged creature that he was. That wasn't an interesting one, himself declared. Do better. They visited three theatres in as many hours. Himself didn't bother to explain, but Evie figured out what he was up to soon enough. These were preview matinees, afternoon shows, in the rolling Musette style, one act after another, that audiences could view for a few centimes. Most were young people after a cheap date, huddling and giggling together in the stalls. It was nearly Saturnalia, and the Vittorina Royale wasn't the only theatre launching their holiday season this week. Harlequino and his Columbines, Monsters and Stellas, Saints and Angels, all spun across the Musette stages of the city. Himself stuck his hands in his pockets, as if he'd rather be anywhere but here, and glowered at every stage. Evie spent more time observing him than the performances. The Argentia was different, if only because there were more seats available this late in the day. Himself ushered Evie directly to one, making sure she was comfortable on the plush faded velvet. "We might be here a while," he confided. "Looking for something in particular?" He gave her a bright grin. "Wouldn't you like to know?" "I know you're not combing for ideas," she muttered, "because your show is done, and making changes at this late stage is..." "I like the phrase arrant nonsense," he said. "We should use it more often. Make it a thing." "It's already a thing. It's not a made-up phrase like the cat's meow," himself said slyly. "The duck's quack," she countered. "Hush," himself said as the lanterns dimmed around them. "I've heard this show is the rat's pajamas." Evie snickered into silence. The show was not the rat's pajamas. It wasn't even the bee's knees. Half a knee, perhaps, Evie conceded, as the Saints and Angel was a cut above, and they had a half-decent harlequinade, though their columbines were feeble. "Be careful they don't lure Ruby Red and your lot over here, with the promise of better pay and shiny trinkets," she whispered to himself. "They need new blood to liven up their lackluster first line." "They can't have mine," himself whispered back. "We're hemorrhaging tumblers as it is. Three of them have cartwheeled off to pastures new in the last market nine. I'm down to understudies." When the Saints and Angel gave way to a good old-fashioned cabaret of monsters, himself leaned forward, more attentive than before. He was here for this. "You're not looking to steal performers this close to the season," Evie whispered. "Of course not. But I won't have time to go headhunting once we're doing 4 hours of show a day. I'll snatch those kids up for a song in the new year. Make a note. That short one." Evie was not taking notes for him. She frowned at the lamb that himself had indicated. "He can't sing or dance. That's not the talent I'm looking for." One of the children was brighter and better than the others. Dark brown beneath a paper mask of a tabby cat, she held herself like a queen and hit the notes harder and better than the rest of them. "Find out her name," himself ordered with the flick of his hand. Evie rolled her eyes at him. "I'm not your secretary." But she stole a program from him on their way out, so he could look up the tabby cat's name for himself. At the bar afterwards, rolls and chocolata made a better breakfast than oysters, though Evie was craving coronets and there were none to be had. Himself admitted that he was indeed looking to recruit child performers. "Lambs are better to work with than adults. Give them square meals and a roof over their heads. They'll learn any word you ask, and hardly any of them steal each other's boyfriends." "Does your show even have room for a cabaret of monsters?" Evie asked with her mouth full of soft bread. "We have to keep moving and changing," said himself, waving his cup so expressively that he lost half the chocolata out of it. "The show can't stay still. Audiences won't come back in Aphrodite to see the same song and dance numbers they adored in Saturnalis." "Will La Villa be part of your show in Aphrodite?" Evie asked lightly. "Or is she a Saturnalia novelty?" Himself gave her a dirty look. "That's not an interesting question," he warned, but shifted uncomfortably in his chair. "I've got a good one," went on Evie. "Who's Garnet, and exactly what power does he have over both of you?" Himself set down his cup. He looked altogether less friendly now. "Are you interested in the theatre at all?" "I'm more interested in you." "Sweet," he drawled, "but you're not my type." "Nor you mine," Evie shot back. "I'm interested in people. Human interest, social movements. Theatre is the centre of everything in Alpha, but it's not because of the shows." "What do you think it's about, then?" "Fantasy. Giving the audience something larger than themselves. Watching the Saints and Angel at Saturnalia is probably the most religious experience on offer in this city." "You're joking. We have festivals and rituals every day. Where have you been?" "Shut up in a boarding house with your friends and too much gin," she wanted to say. What she did say was, "Ritual is routine. Theatre holds the possibility of surprise." "That's true enough. Is that what's wrong with... I'm not telling you what's wrong with your Saints and Angel play, she snapped, catching the disapproving glare of other patrons in the bar. Evidently this was the time of day when everyone in the vicinity was hungover, and loud voices were not encouraged. Himself shrugged helplessly to the other patrons. She's not from around here, don't mind her. He leaned in. What's wrong with my play? Evie sighed. I know you don't need me to tell you. Himself regarded her with his sharp, thoughtful gaze. You couldn't care less about scribbling stories about glamorous reprobates who sing for their supper. I don't think you're a newspaper dem at all. Of course I am. It's what you do, but it's not why you're here. Tell me a truth, or I won't help you a lick, and neither will anyone who works for me. If you're right about me, that's no threat at all, she shot back, and then sighed. She could give him a partial truth at least, see what came of it. I'm looking for someone, a person who disappeared long ago. I'm in Alpha as a writer, but I'm looking as well. Himself stilled at her words, humour leeching out of his eyes. When he wasn't animated and laughing, he was quite unpleasant to look at, as if there was no one behind his face. You lost them in Alpha. I think Alpha was the likeliest destination. And you think they... She. My sister. You think she fell to the Bohemians? Or the wolves? Evie said quietly. There was pain now, just for a moment, on his face. I can't help you with that. You know I can't. Does he make people disappear? Your man Garnet? He's not my man. That came out fast, like it was the most truthful thing he'd said to her all day. Like it was a truth he needed to believe. Evie mopped up the last of her chocolata with a torn piece of roll. We're done here. They walked in silence back to the Vittorina Royale. Garnet waited for himself at the stage door, fuming like he'd never been made to wait for anything his whole life. We need to talk, he rapped out, as himself and Evie approached. About Livilla. Inside, if you please, said himself, with more deference than he usually offered anyone else around his theatre. He doffed his cap to Evie. There's a cast party at the Dapper. After sundown. Evie raised an eyebrow at him. Aren't cast parties saved for after the season closes? It's Saturnalia, said himself with a hint of mockery. Everything's upside down and topsy-turvy. And any excuse for a party, said Evie. Any, agreed himself, excuse for a party. He unlocked the door and waved Garnet ahead of him into the theatre. Evie didn't hear him latched on the other side, though, and that was almost an invitation. She waited a few minutes, and then crept inside after the two men. She didn't dare risk the creaky staircase, but she didn't need to. Everyone knew that if you sat in the box office, you could hear anything from himself's study above. Ruby Red had told her tales of the last stage master, who would deliberately call the prettiest columbines and songbirds up there to earn their billing, when its pregnant mistress, their former Stella, was on box office duty. Nasty old goat liked everyone to know how expendable they were. Glad he came to a bad end. Evie hoped Garnet and Poet wouldn't pick up her presence, even with her heart thudding way too hard in her ears. She had to hope the acoustics of the box office only went one way. Are you kidding me? Himself snapped. Are you really this selfish? I don't care about the two of you playing at theatre, said Garnet, his voice relaxing into a country accent. Oh, thank you very much. Poet, this isn't about that. Isn't it? Livilla's been different lately. Have you not noticed? She needed something that wasn't the Knox, or the court, or the war, Garnet. She needed one fucking thing in her life that doesn't revolve around you. You dare! This is my theatre, said himself, high and cold. You are not power and majesty here. Fix Livilla, Garnet snarled. The sky almost killed her the other Nox, because she was distracted. She hasn't fought so badly since she was new meat. Make her give up this stellar nonsense, or I will burn your precious theatre to the ground. Evie heard a crash and a bang from above. She froze for an instant, not sure if she should cut and run or wait, and pretend she was meant to be here. A streak of gold and spots bounded down the stairs. She sucked in a breath as it stopped for a moment. Gattopardo! A proud and dangerous big cat. She'd only seen one in the zoo before. And gazed at her with eyes like jewels. Garnet was not a wolf. The Gattopardo swished its tail and then leapt from the steps to the foyer and nudged its way through to the main theatre, heading for that back door. Evie let out her breath and waited for him to be gone. This was going to be harder than she had thought. Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. You can sign up to my author newsletter for updates. Follow me on Twitter at TansyRR or at Sheep Might Fly. Find me on Facebook at TansyRR Books. And if you like this podcast, consider supporting me at Patreon, where you can receive all kinds of cool rewards, early ebooks, and exclusive stories for a small monthly pledge. See you next week.